Welcome back once again, Quality Timers, to the Quality Time Podcast. I'm your host, Mr. Eric T. Woodworth. And in this episode, we talk about Jeremy's final wishes. That's right. He talks about his living will that only exists on this podcast. So you're going to want to check that out. We talk about the merits of doing heroin by the time you reach 70 years old. And maybe one of the hosts here possibly did some magic mushrooms. So stay tuned for all that and more, including Jeremy's trip down to Georgetown. But if I can implore all of you, before the episode gets too far into the tank, hop on the iTunes, the Stitcher, and drop us a 5-star rating. It means the world to us. It costs you absolutely nothing except just a little bit of your time and peace of mind. So without further ado, get strapped in. Turn the volume up to 11 and get ready for Different Strokes, The Bicycle Man, Part 2.
Hello, kiddies. It's your old pal, the Crypt Keeper. This is a big shout out to my friends at Quality Time Podcast.
Are you seeing the horrible screams of the children that you already murdered again? Or what's going on, Dad?
Oh, by the way, your little online survey on Facebook. Mm-hmm. Now,
what online survey are you talking about? I'm sorry.
This
I'm
was
back.
This was the sibling survey.
Oh yeah.
About who's who. Now of course everybody says that I have the worst temper. And I won't disagree with that. I definitely have a temper, but the best thing is that I am very open about my temper. Whereas with Amy, she definitely holds it in more. But man, when we made her angry when she was young,
mm-hmm.
just the rage that she had pent up, and it was so funny when she's like, "Arr!" She's like an actual lion when she lashed out.
That's pretty fun.
And man, that was hilarious, making such a small child so angry.
There's nothing like letting rage consume your body for a couple minutes. It's really fun, actually. I like it.
I would think that in some ways, Amy's probably more of a temper than me, but she might hold back more. So
you're just saying that she has more pent up in her than you do.
Yeah.
You have a release system. You just
fantasize about murder probably more than most.
Jesus.
So yeah, because there's been a lot of people in my life that really deserve to be murdered. So
I just try to live a better life and make sure that the people that really piss me off eventually eat some of my poop or pee. That's really the only thing. That's how I get even in this world.
And that's good that you try to get your
payback. By the way, Jeremy, how's that Bex tasting? No.
Damn good. Damn good. And you know, the only fact that I don't want to get caught is that I haven't done so many murders in my life. So
yeah.
And I told you about my last boss. That fucker, man, was he an asshole. It's amazing.
Yeah, you know who else was an asshole? Us. Welcome back to Quality Time, everyone. Yeah, we're back with another fun episode. Going over the Bicycle Man Part 2. Boy, what a fucking... Hey, we made a whole hour episode out of a half hour, 25-minute Different Strokes episode.
Hey, but it is so packed with so much good material about how pedophiles are, except they're so supposedly so charming.
Yeah, you know, it's just... Listen, it's just a different kind of person that lives among us, you know, that we should probably be just more accepting of moving
and
forward.
And laugh about all their jokes.
And laugh at, they're just guys that don't pass, you know, these little fucking kid diddlers, they're just fun guys, you know?
It just takes different strokes to move the world.
Yeah, so, yeah, yeah. Now, I think the funniest part about, not the funniest part, but the most compelling part about the Bicycle Man is that they didn't make it more realistic and make him a, you know, a politician or somebody in Hollywood. I don't like that they're taking out and besmirching the small bicycle shop business owner.
This week, Arnold goes to Catholic Church.
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
Can I talk about my trip to D.C. with my buddy?
Yeah, tell me. So you're talking about Edward Young X, actor from The Killer Clown Meets the Candyman and other projects.
My co-star.
And who just filmed some of Baby Eater with you and I last week. Yeah, tell us about how you guys went down to D.C., Jeremy.
He brought his costume, number one, because he wanted to get some footage from the Exorcist house of him in priest garb, which he has, and we're at the bottom of the steps where the Father Marin or the other guy falls down the steps at the end of the movie, and is dying there. He's laying down at the bottom of the steps, writhing like he's dying or something. And we got so many people coming to see those steps down in D.C. on a Saturday afternoon that he has somebody come up to him like, "Hey, can I get my picture taken with you, like lying at the bottom of the steps?" And he's like, "Sure, okay." He's like, "I'll pay you." He got $10 to get his picture taken with somebody on the bottom of the steps.
Oh, that's cool, man.
And I think it was like at least five other families that wanted their picture taken with him just because he's dressed up as a priest.
Yeah.
So it's like cosplay, where that spot is your place for cosplay as a priest. And we did some pictures at the top where the house was, and on the other side of the street, there's going to be a joke about St. Elmo's Fire, of course, as well, which is another film. If you,
I've never been
the
to
80s.
I've never been to the steps of Georgetown before. I need to go.
Definitely well worth your worth a trip to D.C. just to see those. And I'm very much into the Georgetown because of another famous little happy guy named Albert Fish, who supposedly was near a boat shack near Georgetown, where he...
That's me, Albert Fish.
Some moist, tasty butts.
Hope there's some nice boys around here.
Otherwise known as the Boogeyman, before Casey and the Sunshine Band.
And known as the Gray Man. They said his skin looked gray at times.
And sickly old man that he was. Supposedly, I think in a boathouse, he took a young black retarded / special needs child and might have almost emasculated him.
Oh, nice.
And I think that might have been hearsay of what he said, but I'm thinking Georgetown waterfront is not that large of a place where this might have been literally almost 100 years ago, if there's anybody that knows where that spot was, because I'm so enamored with this kind of sick bastard. It's fascinating, much like a good train wreck.
It's a true crime stuff, man. I like it.
Yeah. Or an abortion. So
yeah, and plus, hey, you know what? Go Hoyas. Am I right? the two things I go down to Georgetown for are Georgetown basketball, Go Hoyas, and Albert Fish. My two faves.
Hey, you want to see the spot where the Exorcist is? Like, that's a little normal. I want to see where Albert Fish might have almost cut a guy's dick off.
Yeah, yeah. Where'd he cut that boy's dick off over there? Ooh, do you think it was right here? Man. Hey, honey. Yeah. Yeah. In the spot where he eviscerated this kid. You're not going to believe it.
If you don't know where Dr. Satan's lab is, don't even talk to me. So.
Yeah, you'll never guess where I'm calling you from. Yeah. It's a Sports Illustrated shoe phone on the site where Albert Fish emasculated a small child. Yeah.
Oh,
good stuff.
Gosh.
Good stuff.
Know your monsters of history, you know. Oh. In Weird New Jersey Magazine, supposedly a guy had actually gotten the boat that was Hitler's boat back in the day, and out of the salvage might have actually gotten Hitler's commode. So you could actually sit on the same shitter that Hitler had sat his fucking evil ass on. So somewhere in Jersey is Hitler's toilet. So.
I like it. You know, that's where he came up with the... he's like,
I took a very large shit one night, and I was like, ooh, duck, ow! And then next thing you know, new internment camp.
You know, it's the must-have for any Nazi. It's like, man, he must have been thinking about killing so many Jews while sitting on this toilet.
And that's what I actually called the final solution, is every time I ate the Taco Bell, I had to go down to the shitter and do the worst German accent. I don't have a good German accent. No. You know, I must go and make the fucking shit. This is not, it's not a good one. I got to work on it.
I think you're doing Borat on that.
Look at me. I am a Hitler. Hey, look at the Jews. We make solutions up for them. Yes,
Borat as the Hitler, movie. I'm
Borat
sure he
Hitler
would,
be good.
He
right?
would do that in like a heartbeat. Him.
You know, the one thing about the Jews is, they're always trying to destroy Germany.
Who else but Sacha Baron Cohen can get up with a guitar and sing songs about hating Jews?
Yeah, only him.
I love that man.
Only him. He can only get away with it.
Oh, yeah,
I got Jeremy. I did just a smidge, little bit, little taste.
Cocaine?
No, not cocaine.
Fentanyl.
I maybe had about this much of some magic mushroom tea yesterday.
Oh, tea.
A little bit of
we
tea.
Won't mention where you got that from, but
it was it got a little wacky there for a little
so
bit. Not super wacky, but a little wacky.
You had a little bit of hallucinations?
Well, I didn't. Honestly, I had what's probably considered more of a micro dose. Just a micro dose. Just
good.
Enough not. Listen, I've full disclosure, the guy that you're listening to right now has done magic mushrooms many times in his life.
Okay.
And God, they have been fun every single time, except on the 4th of July, like a while ago, where I had a almost total meltdown for about an hour. I did way too many, but it was really fun, except for the 1 hour of pure uncomfortable shit where I was losing my mind. But when I got back, listen, when I got back to reality, I was having a great time again. No, there's something about, listen, the magic mushrooms, they're being slowly decriminalized, as is pot, which is, listen, they've already, there's already scientific data that says that microdoses of psilocybin actually really helps with depression and stuff. And honestly, every time I've ever done it, it felt like a reset button on my life where I can just go in and this was the first time I did such a small amount of them that I waking up today, I feel refreshed and I feel very stress-free now. And I feel like a large burden of my life has been removed off my shoulders. And I just in general feel good right now. Is that bad? Is it bad that I had to do drugs to feel good in life, Jeremy? Is that a bad thing? Should I be concerned?
We all do drugs. I'm pretty sure something like mushrooms, if I do a big enough hit, I will never come back. I will be so completely destroyed.
I
might as well be Sid Barrett.
It only lasts for, depending on how much you do, I did about a half gram, which is a very, very small amount. I used to do like an eighth at a time, which is fucking about 3.5 grams, and that shit is, that's the shit where you sit there and just stare at the wall like, yep, it's fucking breathing at me right now, and I can fucking sit there and watch the movie The Cell and just be, not know what's happening, but it is the best movie I've ever seen. That's a Jennifer Lopez film, by the way.
It's the point where you see the devil and the devil comes into your head and he never leaves.
I guess to me, Jeremy, that isn't in me to begin with, so I can't. He can't enter me because he's not there already.
It's like Kevin Bacon in Stir of Echoes. You
think so?
And it's like everything is fucked up since then. So,
well, I find that, Jeremy, there is something to be said about that. You know, the person that you are already, that drugs don't change that person, but if those things are in you, you know, that they can be amplified.
It's kind of like
sure.
It's kind of like when you're at the party and it's like, hey, why don't you just spill your blood some and put it into this cup and drink it with some heroin? And I'm like, all right, fine. I mean, what can go wrong?
I do have. Listen, this is a real thought I've had, Jeremy. By the time I hit 70 years old, I'm going to, like, if I make it to the ripe age of 70. Listen, I'm going to do some heroin. Why not? I mean, heroin addicts don't live long, but I mean, heroin addicts also.
Well, have you done an oxy? You've done heroin.
But the thing about heroin is, listen, I've done the pot, I've done the mushrooms, maybe done some LSD in my life, mounds of cocaine off and on,
mounds
of cocaine throughout my years. Every one of those drugs I did, I always wanted to live in a house. You understand? I always wanted to be under a roof and yes. sleep in a bed. Heroin is apparently so good that's not even a factor. That's like, you know what? Nope, I got heroin. This curb will do today. And there's something to be said about that, right?
Yeah. You know, even though this really ginormous and painful penis is in my mouth, I really... I don't seem to care because I'm on heroin, you know?
But let's imagine that I'm comfortably retired, you know, I'm 70s, mid-70s, you know, I'm at the last leg of my life. I'm like, well, heroin addicts only live like a decade anyway. What the fuck we got to lose now? My house is already paid for. I'll have a house to live in. Let's just do some fucking H and party up.
Heroin. That's a pretty strong order there, Nornberg. Okay.
By the way, I've watched the elderly people in my life fucking horribly choke to death. Don't think a heroin overdose is worse than that. Honestly, at this point, watching yourself slowly choke on your own fluids, I'll go H.
I don't think anybody complains when you start giving the death rattle that mm-hmm. if you can have heroin at that point. So
that's where. If I'm breathing like that, will you get me some H, Jer?
I can put a pillow over your face.
No, I don't want the pillow. I want fucking.
You can't fight the pillow.
The funny part part is that we're pretending you'll be alive when I'm at that
exactly.
point. That's the best
like
part.
Like I'm never going to outlive you. But more than that is I really want the good light show with the music. And then right before I'm about to die, you run the tractor, which pulls my neck. That breaks my neck, just like John Ratzenberger in Motel Hell.
All I'm going to say, Jeremy, is if we're both super elderly, I say we go to like the Sears Tower in Chicago, and you know how they have that little overlook, right? Where you can, it's like a glass, and you can look down.
Hell yeah!
And we just get a small charge up there. We plant it right there, and we have the fucking drop of our lives. God, just plant our wheelchairs there. We'll be like fucking the dude from Breaking Bad, where it's hooked up to the little bell on our fucking thing. And go ding, ding, boom, and then we just drop.
Hell yeah!
That would be fucking fun, dude. We'll be like, hey, I just want you to know we got a bomb. He's got a bomb! All right, everybody's clear? All right, let's go this. Woo! Didn't,
I'm pretty fine with if there's any way that my remains can be scattered all over Disneyland. But I don't want to be cremated.
Jeremy, what are the four things I don't think you have a will. What are the four things that you want to be done to your body? What are your end wishes? Well, we can document it here. This is legit like legal stuff.
Well,
whoever
rapes me, it doesn't matter at that point.
All right, so you know how my wife, for instance, she's donating her body to science, you're donating it to rape afterwards.
Yeah.
You're
just the morons playing with you like a freaking Play-Doh fun factory or something. That sounds great.
The second my consciousness leaves this body, you can do whatever the fuck you want to it. I don't care. Harvest whatever you can, but there's not going to be a lot of good shit you can harvest from me. And, listen, if Otis Tool wants to fuck my corpse for like 4 days, that's not going to bother me. I'm as good as dead. It doesn't matter to me. I'd be like, what an idiot. I'll be looking down, just laughing my ass off. Like, little did you know, I didn't even shower.
there's a lot of cool things that could be happening. Like, if they stuffed your body into like one of those really big guns on a battleship, so you're like instantly ionized with whatever.
Yeah,
that would
be badass. Yeah,
and they could be scattered over. I do prefer I've already told my wife my true intentions, which is to be buried in a really horrible looking vampire coffin that's just made of like pine with no padding or anything. Because that's the way Mozart went. And but at the same time, it's like, no, you're not going to a nice happy Betty buy. You're going into the ground to rot. You know, you don't need to make it look like, oh, he's so comfortable in his death. And it's like, no, it doesn't matter.
Can I get a, I mean, looking at our heritage, Jeremy, our Nordic roots, would you ever do a Viking funeral where they put you out on a barge and then light you on fire like that?
It's really cool and everything, and it's really
It's pretty metal.
It's
right?
pretty showy. They didn't really burn Brocky to death. They just had the costume burnt because I'm sure his body went into the ground. It's just I like the vampire coffin just because it's not showy. Mm-hmm. It's very, very ugly, and at the same time, if you want to, you know, buy a bouquet of flowers just so you don't smell my rotting corpse, I mean, that's fine. And another thing is this is serious, although it is kind of funny and kind of gay and everything, but I really would like the entire viewing just to have Dark Side of the Moon playing all the time.
Dark Side of the Moon, that's what you'd like.
And maybe Echoes. Echoes is a good one in between Dark Side of the Moon.
Oh, really? Dude, did you hear that part during the benediction where it like lined up perfectly with money? That was so dope, dude. That was so dope.
It's like so depressing. My buddy, who's very into prog rock, like yes, he'll say that. Pink Floyd, you mean like The Cure? And I was like, no, Pink Floyd is fucking Cure. The Cure is gay. You know? I mean, come on. Okay, Pink Floyd's all into depressing music and everything, but at least they're fucking cool.
No, Pink Floyd is cool. You can't put those two at the same.
Well, he's just the depressing side of the English thing. It's just not gay. So, it's not like, boys don't cry.
How about this, Jeremy? This is I'm going to put this on wax as my final request.
Yeah.
I'm donating my body also to science. I haven't put it in writing, but it's going to science as well. But what they do is they give you what's left over of you. They'll give it and they'll bury it. Now, my caveat is whatever's left over to me, I want like the handful of me to be fucking like ground up into like a fine powder, and then I want that powder to be put in fireworks, and then on the 4th of July I want to be shot up in fireworks and exploded while like little kids dance around like and it's all me.
Are you going to require that the Katy Perry song be played?
Baby, you're a firework. Yes. So. The cancer got you way too long.
All the little dust that comes back into our face, we can feel like Jeff Bridges and the Big Lebowski. you're recast onto our faces. So.
I have a funeral set up. I've had myself powdered. There's an urn up front that you guys are talking to and we're reading a thing. And I have like a spicy jambalaya, and then I come up on a computer screen, like a TV screen in the front, like, hey, I just want to thank you all guys for coming to my funeral. I really appreciate it. Oh, I'm really sorry that I couldn't make it here today. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. By the way, hope you're enjoying the jambalaya. It's made of me. and then record everybody's face as they're consuming a little bit of Eric Woodworth right there. Now I'm with you always.
Interesting.
All right, those are my final wishes. Anyway, are we ready to get into tonight's topic?
I'm not going
to
eat the jumbo.
Get your fucking shit together, because we're about to learn about some different strokes. Now, these strokes happen to be from a 50-year-old man on a 12-year-old boy, but that's right. We're going over episode two of Different Strokes, The Bicycle Man. Might want to tune in for episode one of this one. It's an important two-parter. But, it is basically about a child molester, and we're going to jump right back in. He currently has the Dudley and Arnold. Dudley is shirtless in the back of the Bicycle Man's apartment, and they are taking Tarzan pictures with him. So Horton has Arnold and Dudley. They're taking pictures, and he very fucking horribly comes over to play the lion that Tarzan's gonna ride. It's super creepy. He offers them more wine. Horton then offers them to play another game.
Hey, listen, what game are we gonna play now? Oh, I got it. Trampoline.
You got a trampoline here?
Well, no, but, you know, we can jump up and down on the bed.
Gee, Mr. Horton, you sure got some great ideas.
Wait a minute, guys. Now, just stop calling me Mr. Horton, huh? Well, why don't you call me by my nickname? Curly. I'll call you Moe. And you'll be Larry. We'll pretend like we're the new, improved version of the Three Stooges, huh? Whoop, boom.
Whoop, boom.
They're just having the time of their lives with this monster.
Why don't we just call you by your clown name, Pogo? Pogo is you jump up and down on a bed.
God, it's so fucking horrible, dude.
Scumbag.
So fucking horrible. So,
and of course, the laugh track. Oh, they're jumping up on a bed and one's already shirtless. Mm-hmm. You're almost half in there, Horton. Good job.
This is so funny. Different Strokes. This is so funny. So, all of a sudden, Horton hears a ring of the doorbell as somebody's coming into the bicycle shop, and it's none other than Arnold's dad. He tells the boys to keep quiet whilst he deals with the situation up front. He tries to get rid of him, but his dad is there paying for the bike that he wants to buy for Arnold. Okay. Arnold and Dudley see that it's his dad out there, and they both put their clothes back on and escape out the back door, avoiding molestation.
Can I say what I think would have really been much better for the plot of this episode?
What's that?
Is like Drummond is in the bike shop. He's like, "Hey, I think I hear my kids from your back room." And as soon as he goes for the door, Horton is like taking a bicycle wrench to Drummond's head as he goes down. He's like, "Ha, ha, no, you're not gonna steal my fun, Drummond. I'm gonna enlist your kid now." Gosh, you fucking.
But hey, look, the kids are now away from this horrible monster. Luckily, because dad showed up, they sneak out the back. Oh, so
he made it one more day without being molested. Thank God.
Now, they've been sitting there drinking wine with Mr. Horton. When he gets home, Arnold gets home, his brother and sister catch Arnold with booze on his breath. He swears to both of them he'll never do it again, and they promise to keep his secret. Dad walks in, and he gives him a hearty handshake instead of a hug. So he's avoided being detected once again. Now, the next day, Dudley and Arnold head back to Horton's shop. Arnold tries to break off the relationship. He's tired of all the sneaking around and the lies, but Horton decides to sweeten the deal.
I don't know.
Oh, that's all right, Dudley. That just means that there's more Boston cream pie for you and me.
Boston cream pie? With three layers and whipped cream and gooey chocolate on top?
That's it.
Guess I could always eat and run.
All right, so Boston cream is enough for him to stay there and continually be assaulted by this young fucking diddler, Mr. Horton.
At any point did they just say, maybe we don't have laugh track during this?
Maybe we take it off. So they walk in and they take a look at all the pictures that he took from yesterday, and Mr. Horton decides to put in a VHS.
Can we make sure we have the right soundtrack over this?
Yeah, I think I got the right one.
Okay.
He puts in a cartoon that is basically an X-rated cartoon that they're watching of mice getting naked, and here's a clip from that.
Dudley, this is an X-rated cartoon. It's dirty.
Yeah, I know.
Arnold, it's not dirty. It's adult. And we are all adults, aren't we?
We only look adult because we worry a lot. Wait, I want to see how that mouse makes out.
All right, so...
Boy, the fun times never end with Horton.
Yeah, Horton is a fucking monster. I like that he went from like hanging out with the kids to just showing them hentai the next day. A pretty fucking horrible monster.
Look at how sexy Sailor Moon is. Yeah. She's got such large breasts for a 10-year-old. It's amazing. I'm Stan Lee, everyone.
Excelsior, children. So Arnold is grossed out by the whole thing and leaves Dudley alone with Horton. And Horton tells Dudley that he basically says this, and I'll cue this up with some background music.
Listen, Dudley, don't worry about Arnold. We can have a lot more fun without him. Hmm? After the cartoon's over, we'll play Neptune, King of the Sea.
How do you play that?
Oh, you know, it takes a lot of water, but bathtub, rub a shower. Oh, it's a great game. You're going to love it.
Okay, we're...
Should we go back to the Wang Chung?
Yeah, I think we need a Wang Chung.
Well, the game of the game is find the golden scepter in the bathwater. If you find the scepter, then you won your Neptune.
Hey, Dudley, I don't know if you ever played this game. It's called Bobbing for Apples in My Asshole. it's a childhood thing. I used to play with my dad back in the day. God.
It's called Stuff the Fudge. Stuff the fudge with your tiny little hands. I Excelsior.
Next, we're going to play a little game called Make a Baby. That's where you pee into my open asshole for the next minute and a half and try to make a baby.
Now, look at all my collection of bandanas here. Each one is a different color that stands for what kind of men I approve of.
Ooh, this one means water sports, Dudley.
Which is the bandana for a pedophile, Mr. Horton?
So back at the house, Dudley's dad comes over to ask Arnold's dad not to give Dudley any more wine. And he explains that he would never give Dudley wine, or Arnold for that matter. Willis and his sister come clean and say that they caught Arnold drinking wine drinking the other day.
And well, obviously, Arnold and Dudley are experimenting with alcohol. I don't like that.
Well, neither do I. They're still babies.
Well, it looks like the babies have gone from the nipple straight to the ripple.
That's hilarious, Todd Bridges. Sweet. Let's try some cocaine now.
Let's just make it. Oh, it's such lighthearted. These kids experimenting.
I knew I saw Todd Bridges. He wasn't in the first episode.
Yeah, that was his. Well, he was very briefly, but he wasn't written in any. He was in the bike shop originally, and he caught Arnold in the first episode drinking. So.
Yes. Okay. So he was in the first. All right.
So Dudley's dad then leaves, and immediately Arnold comes in through the door next, and dad confronts him about the new information that he's received from Dudley's dad.
What was Dudley's father doing here?
Well, he came to discuss something that I found quite informative.
Oh, what's that?
You and Dudley hitting the bottle.
What you talking about, Dad?
He's hiding secrets for Horton the pedophile.
What are you talking about, Dad? So Dad also has a fun quip right after this.
Since when did you and Dudley become the Booze Brothers?
Oh, man, that's so funny.
I've heard from Dudley that you've been molested by Horton a couple times now. What you talking about, Dad?
What do you mean I'm taking shirtless pictures, Dad?
Oh, gosh.
So, he goes on and he sits his son down, and Arnold comes clean about the situation.
Well, while I was there with Dudley, he gave us some pizza and wine.
What else went on there?
He showed us some pictures. Everybody was naked.
Man.
That's hilarious. Yeah.
He then goes on.
Naked.
And he showed us some kinky cartoons.
What do you mean by kinky?
Well, you told me about the birds and the bees, but that's nothing compared to what those mice were doing.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, Did he show you any Ralph Bakshi films?
I got to be honest, though. If I had this conversation with my kids and this is the story that I'm hearing, I'm like, you know, that's really funny, man.
Do I need a .438 or a shotgun?
Oh, no, I don't bring guns to this situation. I bring a pair of pliers.
And propane parts.
Pliers and some propane. we're gonna start taking off fingernails and then the fingers underneath them and then the arm after that and a big mirror so you can watch it all happening.
Don't forget, bring a video camera though.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We make him watch it and make sure you pump him full of drugs so he gets to experience the whole thing.
Make sure you have your tunnel to your cell to make sure you can get out of jail after you're put into jail. So
should this situation ever occur to my family, I would hope that I'm a vigilant enough father to make sure this never happens to my children. But I can tell you what would happen if it did is that the person that did this, they wouldn't have hands anymore, and they would also have conveniently written on their forehead, carved into their head, "kid fucker" for the rest of their life. You know, because if anything, now I'm doing a service to the community. This was a dangerous thing that now I've labeled appropriately so that it doesn't happen again.
You hear about the castration bill of like, if you're like a rapist, you can get out of jail for free if you're like castrated or something. And I'm like, you can still do some really fucked up shit even if you're castrated.
Yeah.
It doesn't change their fucking minds like, oh, now you're magically cured of being a fucking scumbag pervert that puts crimes on people. And I'm like, well, I have the cure for rape and for child molestation. And if you cut off their head, they'll never, ever do it again.
Yeah,
so,
yeah, yeah. Although I've seen The Reanimator. I don't even know if that's a good enough...
I've loved you for years.
All right, let's listen to some more of this horrible audio of Arnold coming clean here.
Are we going
to
go back? Oh, okay, where's the chair?
I think I'd better have a talk with our Mr. Horton.
Dad, you don't think...
And when I say talk, I mean kill.
Hold on. Dad's going to have to get his double-barrel shotgun to go visit the bicycle shop.
I just know who I have to pay off to have this bastard taken out. I'm Conrad Bain.
Or do.
Is there something wrong, Dad? Maybe we should go get Dudley. He's still down there. At the bicycle shop?
Holy fuck.
Dad, I'm going with you.
Now, wait a second.
They go down and rush down to the bicycle shop. He calls the police, and the police and Dad show up to confront Mr. Horton.
Problem.
Is this Horton?
Yes, it is.
I think you've got a big problem, Mr. Horton.
Now, where's Dudley? Arnold told us that he was here.
Look, I don't understand. Was this some kind of joke, Mr. Trump?
Stay with him.
Wait a minute, man. You can't go back there.
Yes.
Maybe he's in here.
Hey, Mr. Drum, it might be better if I looked in there first.
I don't know if you've ever seen a boy with a bloody anus before. So
he walks in and opens the bathroom, and listen, it's different strokes. They just couldn't help themselves.
Dudley, are you okay?
Oh, Mr. Drummond, am I glad to see you. Boy, I sure feel goofy.
Did Mr. Horton give you anything, Dudley?
A pill. He said it'd make me feel good.
Dudley?
Dudley, I want you to tell me exactly what happened before we came in.
Well, at first, Dad, I was having a lot of fun. Then Mr. Horton, he tried to touch me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man, what a good bit. What a good bit. Oh, gosh.
And I keep using the toilet, but my anus won't stop bleeding.
Oh, God. What a monster. All right, let's hear some more from Dudley and his dad and Arnold's dad and the police officer.
It's not your fault, son. And I don't blame you. And I'm not going to punish you. I love you. Do you understand?
So we then go to the ending. Mr. Horton gets arrested, and we have the cop here talking about the whole situation.
Miss, you got to Dudley before anything really terrible happened to him. How's he doing?
First of all, horrible shit happened to Dudley, okay? He got drugged. He tried to touch him. But I guess from her perspective, it was like, I got touched all the time. I don't see what the big deal is.
At least he didn't put it in his mouth.
Yeah. Oh, God damn. All right. Let's hear some more of this fucking shit here.
He's still a little shaken up.
Well, he's a lucky boy. He'll come out of this just fine. He's got parents who are loving and understanding.
He's still sleeping in that fetal position, though. That's kind of weird.
Parents actually blame the children for what happened.
That is dreadful. That is the worst thing you could do.
What's going to happen to Mr. Horton?
Well, I think we got a darn good case against him, Willis. Thanks to your father calling us, we were able to surprise him, and we found some very incriminating pictures.
Worse than the mice?
Oh, man. What a good bit.
What is this world coming to?
See, Detective Simpson said that it was a good thing we called him. Because if I'd gone down and confronted Horton by myself, he would have been able to get rid of all the photographs before the police could even get there.
Yeah, and he would have lived a life without fingers for the rest of his life.
And
man,
he would have overpowered me because he's such a big man, and I'd probably be dead right now. And Dudley would be raped to hell.
Usually most parents do just that, and the guy gets off scot-free. Oh, and by the way, Arnold, your evidence is going to help us a lot, too. I think I got all the details right here, including there was a cherry on the banana split he gave you.
Did I mention the chopped nuts? Boy, I really spilled my guts.
Man, that's so funny.
At which point, everyone in the cast should have just looked in the camera deadpan like, no.
No.
No, this is wrong.
No.
Wrong.
No.
I just can't get over this. We've known Mr. Horton for years. He seemed like such a nice man.
Now, that's the contradiction with child molesters. In their own strange way, they actually love children. The majority of them would never intentionally harm a child. The sad part is, they can emotionally scar a child for life.
Oh, God.
Children. They love children in the sense that they love to rape them and destroy them for an entire life.
This is where it goes back to, like, Todd Bridges, who is getting molested while filming the show. He had to sit here during the scene and listen how you're like, child molesters are basically regular people. Don't worry. This is just how we have to deal with them.
They truly don't love children.
Listen, as much as the Me Too movement, I think, is kind of the pendulum has swung really hard to a certain direction where I think it's beyond it. It needed to because of this. This is the shit of like, oh, like, you know what? There's a bunch of pedophile writers that are writing about how it's like, well, that's just a problem that they have. It's acceptable and we need to accept it. Fuck that, dude. Like, God. Like, oh, fucking poor. Yes, that's good. You really did a great job for Todd Bridges' whole fucking life after you fucking ruined him. Fucking monsters.
What's going to happen to Dudley? He'll probably be addicted to cocaine and be found in some crack den somewhere someday.
God. So, but just like most things, there's always a good, happy ending to different strokes.
Child molesters prey on the innocence of children.
You're right about that, Mr. Drummond. Well, I think I'll be leaving now.
How you doing, son?
Okay.
You want to talk about it?
Well, you're looking at one disillusioned dude.
You know, that's the one thing. You know, if I ever got molested, the one thing I would say is, like, you know, I'm feeling mighty disillusioned right now, Jer. When Pastor such and such diddled me in the back of the fucking church, that was the first word that came to my mind is I felt disillusioned.
I questioned this whole God and religion thing.
God.
My priest molested me.
If you can't trust a nice man like Mr. Horton, who can you trust?
Literally anybody but Mr. Horton. Literally anybody but Mr. Horton.
Oh, Arnold, I think you can trust most people. But you do have to be careful. Somebody wants you to do something that's wrong, or if they want you to lie to your parents, that is a person should not be trusted. No matter how good the reason they give you seems to be.
And you have to watch out for people who come on real strong and try to win you over with gifts.
That's right.
And especially...
Because that's literally what happened to you, Todd Bridges, right? They held a job above his...
You gotta watch out for your...
fucking horrible.
You gotta watch out for your publicists.
If they want to touch you where you don't want to be touched.
Thanks, Dad. You know, I didn't like the things Mr. Horton was trying to do in the bicycle shop. But some hugs and kisses are still okay.
Aww.
Now the world don't move to the beat of just one drum.
And that brings us to an end.
Do we have another Different Strokes theme for this?
Of the Different Strokes. Oh, yeah, you made a special theme song, Jeremy, for Different Strokes.
Yeah, I think this was good for this episode. So.
All right, so here's Jeremy's version. I think it's a shout-outs to Mr. Horton. So here's Jeremy's version of Different Strokes.
Now the world may not move to the beat of just one drum. A different kind of beating when you're a pedophile. Different strokes, different strokes, different strokes when you're a rapist. Now they went to the bike shop. Oh, they wanted a new bike, alright. Like a fly to the spider. Here, looking for pornography when I get you a drink. Different strokes.
Hey, Tommy. You like gladiator films?
Wait for it.
Hey, never seen a grown man naked?
Jeremy, that good song, Jeremy.
That's
good
the best
song.
I could do within a half hour's time. So
we did it, guys. We made it through another.
I'm Peter Graves.
Another strong episode of Different Strokes. There, man. You know,
which is scarier, the kid on Peter Graves' lap, or the kid being sucked in by the evil tree outside of his house in Poltergeist? So.
This is worse. This is worse,
you know,
than both.
I'd rather be eaten by a devil tree than be molested by Peter Graves.
100%. 100%. This is everything about this is the most cringy thing you can ever watch. By the way, listeners, if you do want to go back and watch the whole episodes, we put in literally one laugh track right after he got touched. That was the only thing I added. All this is real audio you can listen to from the episode.
Because that would be inappropriate to put a laugh track in such a horrible situation.
Yeah, that would be inappropriate. You're right. Yeah. So, guys, they're both available on YouTube. You can watch them in their entirety. 46 minutes of just pure cringe. If you make it through, you get a solid lollipop for sitting through some of the worst shit that you can ever hear. I mean, Jeremy, is this the worst thing that's ever been put on TV? Is there anything worse than this?
I can think of a couple of things just because it's so unbelievably pretentious. It has to do with political stuff.
I mean, just cringe level, like the level of cringe that happens in this. Is there anything fucking worse than this that has existed? I don't know if there is. Oh, that episode of Golden Girls where Bea Arthur finally gets laid. Yeah, that. I'd rather watch an Ewok adventure on repeat than to ever have to watch this episode and analyze it in any way, shape, or form.
What are you talking about? The one with Wilford Brimley is awesome. It's got the little guy that goes super fast.
Oh, now look at this little fast little guy we found here. He moves faster than my blood sugar after I have a Snickers bar. Good fucking stuff. I mean, horrible stuff, but good stuff overall. Jeremy, what's on the horizons for you now that we made it through this? What are you going to do to celebrate? Are you going to have some Wang Chung tonight?
I'm still working on Baby Eater. I think I consider the film 15% done now.
15%? Nice.
With those two scenes, which was actually like six or seven scenes. And very happy that I haven't got anything done. And either way, you did a good job. And I actually gave Edward a gift because I have nothing in budget so far.
What did you give him as a gift? What was your gift?
I gave him a guitar.
Oh, you gave him a guitar? That's pretty cool. Yeah. Is he a guitar player? Is he an avid fan?
He wants to learn.
Is
he?
Do you think he's going to be...
I'm starting to fucking lose it, sorry.
You're starting to lose it, Jerry. You're starting to lose it. Give yourself a slap. Slap it. Yeah!
Okay, one more minute.
You got it. You got this shit. Well, you know what? We made it to the 50-minute mark. We really stretched this into two episodes. But listen, if I can be honest with you, you can catch all things Eric Comedy at ericcomedy.com. It's Eric with a K, Comedy with a C. The second Saturday shit show is free, and it's every second Saturday of the month at the Auto Bar. Come check that out. Also, check out the third Thursday in Old Ellicott City, right on Main Street. Next month, we have Wendy Townsend coming up. This month, I think it's actually this week on the 20th, you can catch old Josh Kaderna and Umar Khan down in Old Ellicott City. New show that me and Quinlan are putting on. It's going to be awesome. Drop us a 5-star rating on the iTunes, the Stitcher, or whatever platform you listen to us on. We would really appreciate it. It costs you nothing. It helps us out tremendously. Jeremy, take us out.
Why don't you have a little bit more Jesus juice here?